Part 22, Chapter 2. Johnny had gone on his trip to look at bases, but he found himself looking at people. The flight had been pleasant enough. A new pilot had thought he would be flying Johnny, but the very idea of having to be flown about amused him. He didn't have a broken arm. But an escort of three Mark 32 battle planes, long-range ones that also were designed to carry a squad of Cyclomarines or employees, got into the air behind him when he took off and stayed right with him. He had flown northeast over Africa, the Red Sea, and the Middle East, and into Russia, making good time 200,000 feet up, and looking for a pattern of lakes and rivers Colonel Ivan had showed him with a finger in sand. He had expected to find snow, but although it was late autumn, the only snow was on towering peaks below and to the east. He found his landmarks, found his pre-planned landing space, and found himself in the middle of a sea of surging people. Colonel Ivan was holding them back with a dozen mounted lancers so that he had a place to land. There must be 500 people in that throng. He opened the door and was blasted with sound. They were cheering themselves hoarse. He couldn't even understand what they were saying, such were the rolling waves of sound. He couldn't really distinguish individual faces among so many. Colonel Ivan dismounted as Johnny got down from the plane. The colonel was a little stiff and too formal, thinking possibly Johnny blamed him because of Biddy. The colonel was wearing a black band around his sleeve. But Johnny threw an arm around his shoulders, and it was abruptly all right. They had brought him a horse, a golden-colored stallion with a sheepskin saddle, and he swung up. The crowd cheered. He only knew one word of Russian, and that was «Zudrasitya Voitya», which meant «How do you do? Hello?» So he called it loudly, and the crowd cheered. Johnny looked around. They were close to, in fact right up against, the mountains. Fairly high mountains. 14,000 feet. They had snow on them. The ancient Russian base must be nearby. He had thought they would go right to it, and he could get his observation and estimation done right away. But no, everybody seemed to have other ideas. There were some skin and felt tents, and fires put their smoke in the air. And suddenly Johnny realized this crowd was in their best clothes. This was a holiday. And the way they pressed in upon him, he certainly was the reason. He wondered fleetingly whether Thor had been up here, for if he had, then a lot of these people would think he knew them. Well, his one word of Russian would have to get him by. The colonel's horsemen were opening the way. Every time Johnny raised his hand and nodded, there was a new ear-bashing burst of cheering. Colors, colors, colors. Faces, faces, faces. He knew the sound of Russian well enough to know it was Russian, but he was also hearing scattered words like
Bravo!
And
Bueno!
And
Viva!
Sounded like the Llaneros. Yes. There was a flat crown, black leather hat, several of them, and some huge straw hats. The smell of roasting meat and the tang of dung fires was in the air. A band made up of balalaikas and Spanish guitars and Andean flutes and Mongol drums was splitting the air. The colonel got into a skin tent that had been set up for him, and with a final wave of the hand and his one word of Russian, now no longer adequate, he got inside.